Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Tonight on SDPB-TV, you can tune in to Independent Lens for the premiere of the film Welcome to Leith. It airs at 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain. Today on Dakota Midday, we are joined by the film's director, producer, and cinematographer. His name is Michael Beach Nichols. Welcome, sir, to Dakota Midday.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I want to start with the town of Leith itself before we get into what happens there. Tell me your first impressions when you kind of rolled into this rather small and kind of interesting place.
It was definitely a bit of a culture shock because my partner Chris and I, we were staying in Bismarck, which is about 70 miles north of Leith. So we would drive from that city down there. And, I mean, we'd pass only one or two cars on the whole trip. So just even driving out there, we definitely got the sense of, you know, this town being really in the middle of nowhere. And then you get to a dirt road and you turn left onto that, and then it's another 3 or so miles on this dirt road. And as soon as we drove into the town, we saw the Welcome to Leith sign, and then to the right of that, there was this tree with a swastika hammered up in the tree. And so that was our first experience in Leith, was this sense of isolation and then this swastika in a tree. So we were definitely a little bit on edge on that first trek.
Let's give people an overview of what happens near the beginning. This man arrives in Leith. He buys up some property for a pretty good price, and he has a plan. Tell us who he is and a little bit about his plan for the town.
Sure. His name is Craig Cobb, and he had moved in about a year before anyone really knew what he was up to, and he bought a dozen plots of land and was just sort of living there quietly. Everyone just sort of thought he was trying to, sort of take advantage of the oil boom and buy relatively cheap land that wasn't too far away from the Bakken. This group called the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is based in Montgomery, Alabama, they monitor domestic hate groups online for the most part. And they saw that Craig Cobb was posting on white supremacist message boards that he had bought several plots of land and he was offering them for very low prices, encouraging other white supremacists to move to the town of Leith, wherein they could then vote in the local elections and take over the government legally, because the town of Leith only had 24 residents. I think 16 were voting age at the time that we were filming. So it wouldn't be impossible to get enough people in there to have an electoral majority.
And how did the people of the town find out this is happening? Did the Southern Poverty Law Center notify them?
Yes. So a journalist from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Ryan Lenz, he flew out to Leith to verify what he'd seen on these message boards. And he went to the county clerk's office and he learned that not only had Cobb bought these plots of land, and Cobb is a fairly well-known white supremacist, which is why, you know, he went out there to investigate, but Cobb was also deeding several of the plots to very well-known members of the white supremacist movement, the sort of leadership of the white supremacist movement. So it seemed to be a pretty serious situation just because it was out in the middle of nowhere and it seemed like Cobb could actually be successful. Hmm. So Ryan Lenz, this journalist, went to the mayor's house, Mayor Ryan Shook, and informed him that this somewhat new resident was trying to encourage, you know, outsiders to move in with this plan.
Mayor Shook doesn't even know what a white supremacist is, does he? In the very beginning, he has to be told.
Right. yeah. It's almost comical. I mean, that he had never heard of it before. I mean, it really just gets across the sense of isolation of this town. So they were pretty shell shocked. I mean, no one at that point really knew what to do. I mean. Mm. Cobb had been pretty quiet. They didn't really have any negative associations with him. But as soon as Cobb was outed and sort of media started covering the story, that's when he started getting more flamboyant, putting up swastika signs, flying swastika flags. And that's when residents started going online and sort of looking up Cobb and looking up these people that he was trying to deed plots of land to, and that's when they started to get really upset and scared.
And things get, I mean, I don't want to walk through the whole film so people can tune in and see the ending and stuff, but things really get menacing pretty fast. in Leith. And I wanted to know, when I was watching this, when did you get involved with it? It seems like you're documenting it almost from the beginning. When did you get involved with it, and how did you decide that the situation in Leith was worth following?
Well, so we heard about Leith shortly after the SPLC went down there. The New York Times wrote up an article about you know, what Ryan Lenz had discovered, that there was a white supremacist trying to take over this town. And I just thought it was a really strange and fascinating news story. But at that point, my partner and I, we hadn't made the decision to go. But it was about a month later that we read about a family of white supremacists moving out there. And at that point, it seemed like there was some momentum, you know, going towards Cobb's vision. Mm-hmm. So that's when we decided that we would start reaching out to people in Leith. So we called the mayor and asked him if he'd be willing, you know, to have a couple filmmakers follow him around for a longer form piece. And he was pretty fired up about it. I think that he was a little bit frustrated with local media coverage and just really felt that people weren't really taking the threat of Cobb seriously.
Right.
So at that point, we decided to go out. So we got out there at the very end of October in 2013. And after we went out there, it turned out that a lot of the people in Leith that had been living there and involved in this story had been documenting it themselves and were very eager to share their footage with us. Hmm. So Chris and I were able to get a lot of this footage to really, you know, show that the townspeople filming one another, and that really allowed us to, you know, to cover the whole story even when we weren't there for every part of it.
And that really becomes a theme of the whole film, this people using information on both sides to document, to use it as a weapon. And Cobb is sharing personal information about people online. Talk a little bit about this First Amendment theme throughout the film of being able to say what you want to say, share what you want to share, and document with cameras and video what you want to document and how it's used. It's a really big question, isn't it? I got carried away there. It's so fascinating, this whole thing. But talk a little bit about how people are filming each other and how they're using it.
Yeah, I mean, it became this very sort of, 21st century version of a Western.
Yeah,
where,
exactly.
You know, Cobb was coming in and he was using the law. He knew the law very well, and he was using it to his advantage. And the people in the town, they ended up having to lawyer up, and it basically became this, you know, legal jujitsu where both sides were trying to, you know, use the law to get the other people sort of out. And the people felt pretty helpless. A lot of the people in the town felt pretty helpless because, you know, Grant County, where Leith is located, is 1,600 square miles, and there's only four police officers that patrol that entire area. So there was a definite sense of, you know, if violence were to take place, it could be a while before you would have law enforcement show up. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people just sort of resorted to constant documentation of one another. The Cook family, who lived across the street from Cobb, you know, they put a security camera outside, and they would always monitor. They had a stream going to their computer, and they would just monitor from home. And then this gentleman, Greg Bruce, who lived in a neighboring town called New Leipzig, he had some experience with photography and videography when he was in the military, and so he started coming over to the town and just really filming as much as he could. He would film the city council meetings, and several of those are in the film where you see tensions get pretty high. And then Cobb is there as well at a lot of these city council meetings, using his laptop to live stream to white supremacists websites to show the people in these city council meetings that they're being watched by his supporters as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's the big patrol, which is sort of the climax of the film, where Cobb and Kynan Dutton are patrolling the town with rifles, and Kynan Dutton's girlfriend Deborah Henderson is filming the entire thing on her cell phone because they believe that the documentation of their armed patrol will exonerate them from any wrongdoing, because you know, mm-hmm. you can open carry is illegal in North Dakota, and they weren't trespassing on anyone's property. Mm-hmm. So everything was legal. I mean, because we don't have hate speech, you know, laws that are at all as strict as, you know, a place like Europe, where, for example, you know, you can't fly the swastika, it's illegal to do so. But Cobb was able to do so perfectly, in a perfectly legal manner in the United States. And so it becomes very fascinating, this idea of living in a messy democracy where your next door neighbor can have such different views than you can.
What was it like to spend time with Craig Cobb? For you personally, what was it like to film him, have the camera on him, and sort of get to know him a little bit as an individual?
Yeah, it was strange sometimes. I mean, because he's, as we were, you know, working with him, we spent about 3 days with him after he was released from jail. And, you know, at times you can almost forget what his, you know, belief system is. I mean, he's a very charming, smart, articulate guy. And I mean, he was always very nice to Chris and I. He would sort of ask or sort of ponder out loud about our motivations and wonder if, since we were from New York, if we were liberals that were going to railroad him. And, you know, we just told him the truth, which is that we wanted, you know, to tell every side of the story. And this was his idea to take over this town. And so we wanted to get, you know, his motivations for doing so. And I think the camera affords us as filmmakers a little bit of distance where we can, you know, we can sort of focus on what we're on the story that we're trying to tell. And it gives us a little bit of a remove from the situation where you'd be spending this time in this motel room and he would just be just sort of talking free form for hours and frequently about his beliefs. And they could get pretty disturbing, you know, to us at times. But I think that because we were filming it, we were able to get some distance. It was only afterwards, in the evenings, we'd come back and we'd sort of be psychologically exhausted, I think.
And the people of Leith, on the other side, gave you you know, really unprecedented access to their lives and their conversations as well. There's a scene in the bar where they're trying to sort of decide what to do next, and you're right there with the camera. How did you gain their trust, and what were their thoughts on the film?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people really just wanted the story out there. That it seemed to be the motivation for a lot of people that were going through this experience in this town, just wanted other people to know that this kind of thing was happening in their town and it could happen elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think for Chris and I, in terms of access, I mean, it was just the two of us out there. We went out there for three separate trips. And I think that was, you know, to our advantage to have that sort of very small footprint. We didn't have other crew members in the background or anything like that. It was just the two of us. And I think that, you know, we just spent enough time with everyone that they could, you know, come as close to as possible as forgetting, you know, that kind of that we were there, just because when we were around, we were just filming all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think that everyone had sort of something to gain, I think, from having the story get out there. And then as far as the reaction, we showed the film in Bismarck and in Mott in September. And Chris and I went out to those screenings. And those were really the local screenings. And there was a really great reaction. I mean, it was something that we were very nervous about, I think, as all documentary filmmakers are nervous when people that are in the films actually see them. But a lot of people afterwards during the Q&A, it sort of almost became this Q&A with all the members of the town, sort of having conversations with each other and with other people in the audience that had, you know, been living very closely to this experience. And it almost felt, like therapeutic and cathartic for a lot of people. So we were very happy with how the film was received by the local people.
So when you're there and when you're filming, there has to be a sense that at any moment something could happen, and that you're filming people before a major act of violence or before something turns really, really horrible. Did you have the sense when you were out there that you might be on the cusp of something truly disastrous happening in front of your camera?
There was definitely the thought that something could happen. I mean, it was a very, very tense atmosphere. The town is so, it's surprising how close together all the houses are. So, I mean, Cobb's house was literally across the street from Lee Cook and just down the road from the bar. You could look out, you know, the windows of either house and see the other, you know, the so-called other side. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely a sense that eyes were always sort of on you. And yeah, I mean, it was just every household, there were guns everywhere. And I think for Chris and I coming from New York City, that was probably more of a culture shock than it would be to someone that lives in the Midwest. Because it was just, it's not necessarily that different than if they hadn't been going through this experience. But because of what was happening, a lot of times the gun was leaning against the door, the front door or something like that. So that was something to us that we just kept seeing in the background, that was sort of a reminder of the sort of siege mentality that we felt like we were documenting. So I think that there was this sense that something could happen. We were very grateful that it didn't, but it always was in the back of our minds.
Well, it's a very, very compelling. Everything you're saying is just, you can tell how much I felt it just by watching the film. I want to finish up a little bit with cinematography, though, because it is so stunning. You go to Leith. It seems to me you have virtually nothing to work with from a cinematography perspective, and every frame and every shot is worth watching and worth looking at. Tell me how you approach it as a cinematographer to make a piece of art out of this documentary.
Oh, thank you. The town of Leith itself really sort of had this feel of being, you know, abandoned. And that sort of fit this theme and this sort of feeling that the people in Leith were feeling with Cobb trying to take over. They felt like they were abandoned and sort of left on their own. So we really wanted to, you know, use some of the tropes of almost horror films and westerns in filming it, because it really didn't feel like we were putting our directorial view on that if we were to film it like that, because that's what it felt like. That's what the people were going through. So we just wanted to really just showcase, you know, the incredible wide vistas in North Dakota, and just show the sort of rundown, abandoned houses in this way that could be a pretty eerie and sinister almost, because it definitely felt like the town could sort of turn in on itself at any moment. So I tried to, we used a lot of these sort of cinematic tools when we were shooting to sort of echo, these kind of genre films like horror and thriller.
Incredibly effective cinematography. Home run there.
Thank you.
I know they're real people, but you almost forget by the end that they're not characters that you, so just the whole film was really crafted in a brilliant way. So thank you for that work that you did there.
No, thank you so much.
You've been listening to Michael Beach Nichols talking about his film Welcome to Leith. It premieres tonight on SDPB-TV at 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.